The Haftorah begins this week. Vayikru bo yimei David lamus vayitzav v'shlomo b'no limor. Anochi oleich b'derech kol haaretz v'chazakta v'hayisa le'ish. Eitan, what do you think it means v'hayisa le'ish? It's you should be a man. So you know the simple pshat is that Shlomo was very young, according to some deos in Chazal. He was actually only. It must be going around somewhere. I only have one left. Anybody have more than one? He was only 12 years old. So the Mitzvah David says, V'hayisa le'ish means, even though you're very young, you're going to have to, you know, act, you know, above your age. Im sha'ata udchanar, ischazik atzvecha li'os ki'ish, ha'shalim mishanev. Ho'o v'amos ve'ineli lahadricha, v'derech teleich. I'm not going to be around, so you're going to have to grow up very quickly. The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says something a little bit more fascinating. V'tiskef, that's v'chazakta, uzhe l'gvar dachal chotin. The definition of an ish is somebody who has yiras chet. And the Radak goes even further. The Radak says, v'ayisal ish zariz u'moshal benafshecha v'kovesh es yitzrecha. That v'ayisal ish means that a person can only really be called an ish until they have a discipline over themselves. Okay, so this is the Haftorah. It's about David's parting message to his son. So let's read on a little bit further. V'shamartes mishmeres Hashem elokecha lechus b'lechav lishmarchu kosav mishatav mishvatav idvosav kakasu v'soras moshe l'man taskel izkol asher taseh v'izkol asher tifnesham l'man yakim Hashem ez dvaro asher dibir alai le'mor im yishru v'necha ez darkam alechas lefanoi be'emes. Bechol levavam or bechol nafsham. What does that sound like? Bechol levavam, bechol nafsham. Right, obviously, like Kriyat Shema. We'll get there. Lemor lo yikares lechaish me'al kisei Yisrael. So, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, you probably covered this in Gemara Shir this year. So, the Rambam wants to know why we say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Yolam Va'ed. Isn't that a hefsek in terms of Kriyat Shema? So, the Rambam says the following: Akori Kriyat Shema kshu gomer pasuk rishon omer belachash Baruch Shem Kavod Malchusol Yolam Va'ed. Even though it, of course, never appears in the Chumash anywhere. V'chozer v'kori k'darko v'yahavtis shem elokech chad sofa. V'lama korin kain, after all, doesn't appear in the Chumash. So it's a whole sugya in Masech Tapsachim as to why exactly we do this. And the Rambam gives his version of the story. Now it's interesting, in the Gemara itself, it says that Yaakov, b'keish Yaakov avinu legalos esakeitz, Yaakov wanted to tell what was going to go on in the Acharis Hayamim, as the Pasuk says, he'asu v'yagid alchem esa sher yikreschem. Why wasn't able to do Yitzchak? What does Rashi say at the beginning of the parasha? Lama parasha zosisuma is that nistalka miyana shechina. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to be able to reveal it, so instead he started talking about other things. Reuven bechoriata kochi v'reishis oni yeser seis v'yeser saaz. Shimon v'levi achim klei chamas mechirosei emisod amal tavonashi bikalam al teichad kodi kiva apam hargu yishvurtsun amikru shuaru apam kiaz v'evrasam kikashasa achakem v'yakov avitzem yisrael yeduda atayuducha achachayadcha barfei v'achish achlucha b'nei avicha gurar yeyuda b'derf b'ni alisa, etc. So he starts talking about other things. So the Rambam says, no, that's not what was going on. The Rambam says he had one idea in mind the whole time. What was David talking about with Shlomo? V'chol v'avcha v'chol nafshecha, that you have to serve God. So this is what the Rambam says. Masoras hi b'yadeinu, this is again based on the Gemara in Pesachim. Shebesha shekibet Yaakov avinu ezbanu b'mitzrayim b'shas misaso tzivim v'zirzim al yichud Hashem. What was he so interested in? That they should be all committed monotheists. V'al derech Hashem shahalach b'avram b'yitzchak aviv. V'shalos amvam lehem banai. Somebody who is not fully on board. Yisrael, there Yehuda means what? Shema Yisrael means our father, O Israel, right? Not the nation, but the individual. Kilomer Shema Menu Avinu Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Pasa Chazakin VeOmar Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso LiOlam VaEd. So he was so thrilled that all of his progeny were committed monotheists. They were Omed Imo BeYichud Hashem, that he burst out in the Shevach and he said Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso LiOlam VaEd LeFikach. And therefore we have the right to say it, Eitan, despite that it doesn't appear in the Chumash. Netanel, outstanding way to jump in there. Lefikach nagel kol Yisrael lomar shevach shashibech bo Yisrael azaken achar pasuk said. That's the Rambam Shita, and that's why we say Baruch Shem Kevod Malchus Chol Yilam. But the last thing that Yaakov wanted to do was to make sure his children were committed monotheists. What was the last thing that David HaMelech did before he dies? We read in the Haftorah. He wanted to make sure that Shlomo was b'chol levavo, b'chol nafsho. He was totally committed and unborn. Okay, very good. Important parallel between the Haftorah and the Sedra. Now let's take it to the next level. David, go ahead. Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim.
Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. Shvayas Reishana Vayichi Yimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav. Shvayas Rima.
Sheva Shanim Yarboim U'Ma'ashana. So what do we learn? Avishai, what's your... When it says Vayichi Yaakov, that Yaakov lived there, there's something a little strange about this. I mean, the Torah told us Yaakov was 130 years old when he came down to Egypt, and the pasuk could have just said, Vayimei Yaakov Shnei Chayav Sheva Shanim Yarboim U'Ma'ashana. What do you think is indicated by the term Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim? We could just do the math and say he came when he's 130, he passes away when 147. What is Vayichi Yaakov? Mr. Play, welcome back. You're feeling better? Oh! That Yaakov had a quality of life, that there was a chias to Yaakov Avinu. So the Chizkuni says it, Mr. Play, would it come back in high style? Okay? So the Chizkuni learns this way. Okay, Eitan Berenholtz, go ahead. Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim. That's a big statement. Lohayu chayim. He wasn't even really living. Shekol yomav hayasha'rei b'tzar. Right? That he was experiencing terrible tzar. Mishabal mitzrayim. So this is quite ironic. Who would have ever expected this? When Yaakov Avinu Ezra, when he was first heading down to Egypt, what did God have to tell him? Vayomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Vayomer, Hineni, Vayomer. Anochi hakel elokei avicha al tira mirdam mitzrayma ki legoi gadol asim chasham. If Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling him al tira, what can we infer? Very good, Tzvi, the scribe. He was afraid. And it turns out to be just the opposite. How so? That these are the 17 golden years of his life. An amazing thing. So why was that true? So the Chizkuni makes a remez to the Medrash Haggadah here. This is where I want to say over my own mahalich. But the Chizkuni says, Mikra zanichtav l'shuachos shal yonev, shepirnes es aviv es kol b'nei veso yudzayin shana, kemo shepirnes o aviv sherei ben yudzayin shana hayak shanim kar. And maybe it was because Yosef was taking care of him. The Chizkuni says, the shevach shal Yosef, Yehuda, how many years was Yosef in his father's house before he was sold? 17 years. And then you have exactly 17 years, 17 years, right? So Yaakov took care of Yosef 17 years as a youngster, and then Yosef took care of Yaakov 17 years in his father's old age, as the Gemara Masechta Kiddushin says, Ezu kibud ve'ezu mora, kibud machil mashke, malbish mechasa, motzi u'machnis, that the definition of kibudav is to take care of them, to provide sustenance, to nurture, etc. Okay, so the Chizkuni already is pointing out the connection between the 17 years and the 17 years. With your permission, I'd like to branch out a little bit. I just wanted to point out, it's not only the Chizkuni that has this diak. Yeah, the Malbim has the diak, the Gedolei Hachronim, the Nitziv, my great-great-grandfather's Rebbe, the Nitziv. So he also has the same diak. Says Allah Pirish, you see the Hameik Davar, Vayichi Yaakov Shayachai Chayim Tovim Misukanim Ashalohurgol Bazeb Eretz Israel. Right, we all remember that Rashi, Bikesh Yaakov Aminu Leshev Bashalva, that he wanted to have a little bit of nachas, but whatever happened, Kafza Rogzo Shal Yosef, that he went through Esav, and he went through Lavan, and Dina, and Shimon, and Levi, and he would have Vayilech Ruvein, Vayishkaves Bilah Pilagesh Aviv, right? And there was all kinds of difficulties, and you know, that's why he tells Paro, Ma'ad v'ra'im hayu yamei shnei chayev lo hisigu es yamei shnei chayev usai bimei migurehem. And all of a sudden, when you would least expect it, where you would least expect it, how you would least expect it, Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mitzrayim, it's a, again, there's chiyus, right? He had a special quality of life when it came to his time in Egypt, which is a remarkable thing. Okay, so I'd like to make a suggestion. What gave Yaakov Avinu this chias? And I want to borrow from the idea of 17 years, but I want to take it now in my own direction. Okay, so Zachary, go ahead. Let's read the next pasuk. You have it in the ninth source. Vayihi. So who told Yosef that Yaakov over there in Goshen wasn't doing well, that he was ailing? So who said? So let's take a look at Rashi. Go ahead, Zachary. So the first day in Rashi is he had all kinds of messengers, right? He had messenger one, he had messenger two, he had messenger three. He called them primero, segundo, you know, according to one, two, three. You know, that's how he referred to them. Okay. Yeshomrim. Oh. So what's the second shot in Rashi? What's the second shot in Rashi? How did he find out? Who told him? Was it just Echad min Magidim, but Eitan? Is what was Ephraim doing in Goshen? He's learning with his father. What does that remind us of? Somebody learning with Yaakov. David? Exactly. Yosef was how old again? Kiven zikunim hulo. As the Rav used to say, permit me the targum unklus. You always say, permit me. Right? Ben zikunim hulo, what does unklus say? Who remembers the exact lashon? Eitan, you have it? What does unklus say there? Shnai mikra. What does unklus say? Ki ben zikunim hulo, bar chokim. Right? That he was the child that had the Torah. What does Rashi expand on that? He says, all the Torah of Shem Ba'Ever, that Yaakov put it into Yosef. And then, of course, it's interrupted. It's interrupted. But where does Yaakov sort of recapture that? Where does Yaakov recapture that? Oh, excellent, David. You said the shir. Vayichi Yaakov. What do I think brought Yaakov chiyus?
That he was learning from.
It was, for him, it was the golden years. Because he was learning with his grandson. Now you'll tell me, what do you mean? It's a machokes in Masachta Kiddushin Daf Lamed. Whether or not there's a mitzvah to learn with your grandson. After all, the Gemara in Kiddushin isn't really sure. Because the Pasuk says, Yimatim Bosam is B'neichem. Avishai has pointed out many times that in the past, B'neichem velo B'neichem. So if that's true, how is it as good? The mitzvah is to learn with your son. V'shinantin v'anachal, Yimatim Bosam is B'neichem. Velo B'neichem. So you have to take a more careful look at that Gemara, because Avishai has us in a corner. He has a very good kasha on us. Okay? Alicia, go ahead. Aviv mi mechayiv. Is there really a chiyiv to learn with grandson? Hamalamin is binotera malavakasov kilolim dololavleva navleven binoatsov kaladoros. The reason Pasuk says v'avdatim v'nachli v'nachas is that if you learn with your son, then God willing he'll learn with his son and he'll learn with his son, and so you're responsible for catalyzing a chain. You're like a catalytic enzyme. You set the process in motion. Okay, that's very good, but that's not the only day. That's the day that Avishai likes, but there's another day in the Gemara. Go ahead, Alicia. Ooh, that there's a separate pasuk that tells me in Parshas Veschanan, Vehodatem Levanecha, Vilivnei Vanecha. Now, again, the end of that pasuk doesn't sound like it's talking so much about Talmud Torah. How does that pasuk conclude? Very good. So it sounds like it's talking about Maimon Har Sinai. So we'll see the Ramban tries to square the circle a little bit. Two steps ahead, Eitan. Very good. Okay. So based on that connection, I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Go ahead. The end of the pasuk. Wow. So now perhaps we can understand why Yaakov had such a chiyus. Maybe even a greater chiyas, learning with Yenikel than learning with his son. Why? Because what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say, scribe? That learning with your grandson, that gives a person a greater sense of sipul kanefesh than learning with one son. Yes, you're chayiv, according to this view. Limata mosam is b'neichem is not to exclude b'nei b'neichem, it's to exclude b'noseichem, that there's no chiyuv to teach your daughters in the same way as your sons. There's a great chiyuv. Don't get me wrong. Okay? But there's no formal chiyuv as such. But the sipa kanefesh kol melamed es ben beno Torah malav akasav kilu kibla mehar Sinai. So now Avishai has pointed out, so you have to look how we paskin. There's a machlokas tanoim. Is there a chiyuv to learn with our grandchildren or not? One by matamosam is b'neichem v'lo b'nei b'neichem. The other drasha is matamosam is b'neichem. That's b'neichem b'nei b'neichem minayin. So let's take a look in the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, and you'll tell me how the Rambam paskins the halacha. Go ahead, Avishai. K'shem shechayev adam melamed es b'no. Oh, the Rambam paskins like which daya? Absolutely. And then the Rambam goes on to say it's not only your immediate family, but we have an idea that Talmidim are Nikram Bonim, right? Vishnatim Vanecha Elu Talmidecha. Very good. So the Rambam then comes in out and says, Yimkei Lamanit Saval Beno Vel Ben Beno, Lahaktim Beno Leven Beno, Ven Beno Leven Chaver. Your first responsibility is your son. And then after that, you worry about your grandchildren. And after that, you can worry about the community, you can worry about the whole world. It's all very nice. The Kesef Mishnah points out that you probably wouldn't have a financial obligation towards Ben Chaver. It's a big mitzvah to help pay for somebody to go to yeshiva, but it's not a fundamental obligation. You have to be willing either to do it yourself with your son or to commit financially. Interestingly, the Kesef Mishnah raises the following suffix. What about Ben Bito? On the one hand, it's your same grandchild, just the same. On the other hand, there's not formal obligation. According to this daya, so if it doesn't run through the daughter. So really, this is the way of asking the question. If you think that there's a fundamental obligation to learn with your grandson, so then of course you're obligated. Who cares whether it comes from a daughter or from a son? But if you're obligated to learn with your son's son, so then maybe not. Because the pasuk says, V'odatam levanecha, v'livnei vanecha. Okay, so that's already a suffix in the Kesef Mishnah. He doesn't want to answer that question. That's the way the Rambam learned. Now Eitan raised the issue. It doesn't sound in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk doesn't sound like Talmud Torah. It sounds like Maimon Har Sinai. The Ramban says that as well. So the Ramban says there are 613 mitzvahs. I disagree how the Rambam counted the 613 mitzvahs. How do we even know there are 613 mitzvahs? Who said there are 613? Say anywhere in the Chumash that there are 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara says, the Gemara Masachta Makos, Daf Chol Gimel Amid Beis, has a drasha in the name of Rabbi Simloi. So Rabbi Simloi says that there are 613 mitzvahs, there are 248 positive commandments, there are 365 prohibitions. How do I come up with such an idea? Anybody know what it comes up to? It's such an idea. Where did you come up with this idea? 613? That's 600 together. The Vav and the Hey is 11 together. Anochi lo yelucha mi piha gevura shemanum. Those we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sounds like an agada. But everybody accepted this idea. There was some Kabbalah that there are 613 mitzvahs, that there are Tayrig mitzvahs. Okay, it's not explicit anywhere in the Chumash and the Gemara. It's already a drasha. But everybody operated with that assumption. But nobody said what the 613 mitzvahs are. So the Bahaget, his version of the 613 mitzvahs, and Reb Sadia Gaon has his version of the 613 mitzvahs, and the Rambam had his version of the 613 mitzvahs, and the Ramban had his version of the 613 mitzvahs, and the Sefer Achinuch had his version, largely based on the Rambam, and the Smak had his version, and the Smak had his version, and the Arayim had his version, and the Tashbetz and the Zohar Harakia had his version, and the Sefer HaCharedim had his version. So many different people had a version. Jacob has his version. Gavi has his version. Okay, Yaakov over there has been working on his version. Okay, so they're different approaches. So the Ramban says, I disagree with the Rambam about many things. For example, you guys probably learned a little bit about Kriyat Shema this year in Gemara. Okay, so how many mitzvahs does the Rambam count Kriyat Shema? How many mitzvahs does the Ramban count Kriyat Shema? Last time I checked, we only say it twice a day, right? So he says two. Okay, so he says, I don't understand why the Rambam counts it as one. If you don't say Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, you don't have to say Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. You don't say Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, you don't have to say Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. So he says what Ezra Becker always said, that it's two different mitzvahs. Ezra Becker, when he applied to TABC, he says, I agree with the Ramban on this issue. You know, is that going to be a problem? I said, no, it wasn't going to be a problem. We'll take him anyway. It's acceptable. We could have a diversity of Talmidim here. It doesn't have to be that everybody holds the Rambam Shita about the Minyan HaMitzvahs by Kriyat Shema. So Ezra, I spoke to his mother about it at the time. She said, it's acceptable. That's fine. I checked in with a couple other people. Uncle Hanan also said that that's his preferred approach So that's what we came to the conclusion. Okay, so we have a machlokas here between the Rambam and the Ramban. So again, if the Rambam counts it as one and the Ramban counts it as two, there's got to be something that the Rambam counts that the Ramban doesn't count. So in any event, this is true all over the Mishnah Torah. So when all is said and done, when all the dust settles, who knows how many mitzvos the Ramban says, mitzvos essay, that the Ramban says the Rambam forgot to count. He has a little essay that he wrote at the end of his Hasagos on the Sefer Mitzvos. How many does he think the Rambam forgot? I'll give you $20 if you guess.
21?
No. 17. Okay, good try. What is that?
I was going to guess 17.
Okay. You would have been. You didn't guess in time. Your brother beat you to it. What can I say? So the Ramban has 17 mitzvahs to say. The Lo Sasei also says yes. So what's the first Lo Sasei that the Ramban thinks the Rambam forgot? It's a pretty big one to forget. What's that? The Rambam counts 51 mitzvahs that have to do with Avodah Zarah. He didn't forget about Avodah Zarah. Okay, go ahead. No! What? That's a mitzvah sasei. Murder? The Rambam counts murder. The Rambam didn't forget murder. That's interesting. Interesting that you should say that. The Ramban sort of insinuates that maybe the Rambam didn't get. That's the Ramban's idea, but that's on the Mitzvah's essay side of Zachari, Sashar, Shoshkim, and Miriam, because he implies over there that how could it be that the Rambam didn't really count Lashon Hara, which the rabbi has compared to Shvichos Damim. Is that really a fair attack on the Rambam? Because the Rambam says that Lashon Hara is a subcategory of which lav? On the Daraisa level? Which Gavi, it's like pearls. That the Rambam, if you look, in Hilchos Deis, the Rambam makes it very clear that it's a subcategory of Osei Lech Rachil Merech. You have to figure out what's the difference between Rachilas and Lashon Hara. That's a different issue. So the Ramban says the first Lo Sasei that the Rambam didn't count. Ariel, you wrote about this in your admissions essay. It's a very good essay. He said that he agrees also with the Ramban about this point. That the Rambam forgot to count. Yisham lecha pentishka ches Hashem. That we're not allowed to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu asher otzi yachah meretz Yisrael beis avadim. The second law is that we're not allowed to forget Maimon Har Sinai. As the Pasuk says, Yisham lecha shmor nashcha ma'od pentishka ches advarim asher roi enecha ufen yasur mevavcha ko yameicha yecha ve'odatim v'necha li'mei v'necha. That you always have to tell your children. This is what we saw in Maimon Har Sinai. That's why David walks around. He walks around practicing what he's going to say, God willing, one day to his children. And he's going to say that there was smoke on the mountain and there was like a great torch and we heard all these sounds. And I heard you rehearsing the other day upstairs by yourself. At first I wasn't sure who you were talking to. Then I realized you were practicing. So that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, oh, you're going to ask a kasha against me. The Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin says, "Ve'odatam levanecha levivnei vanecha" is not talking about my Midhar Sinai. It's talking rather about the mitzvah of teaching your grandchildren Torah according to the daya that we paskin like. So how can it be that we have the same drasha being used for two completely different halachos? One of them is, again, what the Ramban wants to say, that you have to tell over the story of Maimon Har Sinai. And according to the simple reading of the Gemara, that's the Chiyuv, is exactly what the Rambam said. So how can it mean that you have to tell over the story of Maimon Har Sinai and you also have to teach Torah? So the Ramban says, this is after the ellipses here in the 13th source,
Kilimur emunas hatera
Hu alimud batera. Who understands what the Ramban is saying?
What's the
Ramban
saying?
No. Even though that statement is objectively true. Yeah.
Oh,
excellent. That the mitzvah of telling your children about Maamid Har Sinai, according to the Ramban, is intrinsically, inextricably linked to the mitzvah of teaching your grandchildren Torah. Because when you teach your grandchildren Torah, what you're teaching them is to have faith in the veracity and the authenticity and the legitimacy of Maamid Har Sinai. That it happened. Kachayu advarim. So when you learn Torah with your grandchild, you're inspiring in your grandchild a great and deep sense of emunah in Maamid Har Sinai. And I would add that that's something that a father really can't do. It's only when you have that space of multiple generations. Your father teaches you the nuts and bolts of Torah. But even if you hold that the obligation is to teach your grandchildren Torah as well, like the Rambam says, that's not to say that perhaps, I say this with greater confidence for the Ramban than I can for the Rambam, that the nature of the learning doesn't change. When I learned Torah with my Saba, Zichrono Livracha, it was a totally different experience than learning with my father. I felt all of the much. He was a European Jew, he was a survivor. You guys don't know so much from that. But it felt like the Masorah was being transmitted, that this person is an Udmut Salmayesh, and he's putting into all the Masorahs that he heard from his grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, was a Rav in Europe, who I mentioned, who learned in Balashim. And that was an inspiration, that the Torah is forever. The Torah survived everything. The Torah survived the Nazis, the Torah survived coming to America, which wasn't exactly what America is today, with the Orthodox Union, with all kinds of kashrus and mikvos and Shabbos and Daf Yomi and 90,000 people at MetLife Stadium. It wasn't that. And here it is. Here's living proof. Emunah Satorah, that the Torah is forever. Why do I believe in Maamid Har Sinai? Because I hear my grandfather. So, if you ask me, what was the chios of Yaakov? Vayichi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shiva Esrei Shana. What was the chios? What gave Yaakov Avinu that sense of deep nachas ruach to learn with Ephraim? To learn with his grandson, and to have a sense that this Masorah that he inherited, not just from his father Yitzchak, but what did the Rambam say in the Hilchos Kriyat Shema? From his grandfather Avraham, that he would pass it on not only to his children, but to his grandchildren as well. There is no greater nachas. One day you'll experience it, God willing. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi kol melamed es ben ben Torah, malav akosav ki lekibla har Sinai. It's as if you've experienced the revelation itself. It's a very powerful idea. And so, Parshas Vayichi is about transmission of Masorah. Parshas Vayichi is about the end of a certain era, the era of the Avos. But it's also a story of triumph and continuity. That Yaakov Avinu succeeded. B'shah Hashem, Meis Yaakov Avinu, as the Rambam says, Ki Beitz Bana Vizir Zem B'yichud Hashem. And he made sure, Vayuvene Yaakov Shnei Masar, that they were all on the same page. But it wasn't only in that generation, but as Yaakov says, Ephraim U'Menashe, Kiruvein V'Shimon Yihiyuli. The grandchildren are like the children. B'nei Vanim Harayim Kivanim. And that is a story of Lima Torah to the grandchildren. For the Rambam, it's really the same chiyuv. For the Ramban, it's a little bit of a different kind of a chiyuv. But the idea is we're all meant to be able to transmit the Masorah generations forward. And this was arguably the greatest experience in the life of Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov merited this. And I have to tell you, I can't imagine anything more meaningful. I cannot imagine anything more meaningful. I wanted